Give us a glimpse of who you are today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's a Christmas carol that starts off, "What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping?" And he's asking the question, who is this child? This one we talk about at Christmas time. So before we answer that question, I'd just like to play a short video clip. If I can get that. Christmas is not just about rescue, it's about reunion. Okay, why do we resonate with those pictures as little video clips of reunion, of kids getting their dads back after a long time away? Or because much as we've got technology these days that we can talk to people across the other side of the world, it's not the same as having them there in person, especially a loved one in person at Christmas time. And I think we resonate with it so much because we are made in the image of God, and it's capturing something that's inbuilt in us to be in relationship with Him. God's desire to be reunited with His lost children. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, God with us. My change is not working. Revelation 21:3 says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." He came to our place. He took our place. He invites us back to His place. That's the gospel. So who is this God who wants to be with us? We hear about God so often, and we just let the word wash over us without letting them touch us. So today, as I talk about our God, try to picture, try to imagine, try to feel, and let Him touch your heart. The first thing I want to talk about is our God is light. God, the blessed only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. That's what John says about his vision in Revelation. Try looking at the sun. We can't. We shouldn't look at the sun. It's too bright. It's too much. And that's what God is like. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He is that light that shines in this dark world. And the darkness around us, the darkness of this world, with all its pain and suffering and evil, can never extinguish that amazing light of God. He is the Creator. "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." He chose to create us. He chose to create this world. He wanted us. He wanted to be with us, to be in relationship with us. He holds all things together. He Himself existed and is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That's his is the controlling cohesive force of the universe. And that's the God that we have with us and in us. My change is just not working today. I'll just have to ask fate. Next one, please. Omniscient. That means God is all-knowing. He's the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He knows everything. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. We tend to think, when we think God knows everything, that he knows all the wrong things that we do. But today I want us to think beyond that. He knows everything there is to know in this world, in the universe, in the invisible realm, in the spiritual realm. He knows everything. It's beyond my comprehension, but he knows everything. Our next one, please. He is supreme ruler. He is a just judge. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. God is a just judge. The Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. This is the God we have with us and in us as Christians. Now, the justice system that we have in this world can be a scary place sometimes. If you're up before a court, you wonder if you will actually get justice. You might remember the movie The Castle, the Australian movie. Has anyone not seen The Castle? Okay, you know who I'm talking about. And when Daryl Kerrigan went to court to fight the compulsory acquisition of his home, and he found a friend there, a friend who made all the difference in the justice system for him, someone who knew, someone who could speak on his behalf. And we come before a just judge, but we have a friend. Sin must be paid for. God says there must be justice. And we deserve the penalty for our sin. But Jesus paid it for us. And God is both the just judge and the friend who comes alongside us. Next. God is eternal. He is outside of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. It's talking about Jesus being God with the Father and the Holy Spirit before anything was even created. And Jesus says in John 8, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." And that kind of doesn't make sense to us in one sense, but it's because he was saying, "I have always been, I am." It's not "I was" or "I will be," but "I am." I'm eternal. And an illustration that I find helps me to understand this concept of God being outside of time is, imagine life, the history of the world from beginning to end. It's like the Christmas pageant in Adelaide, and you've got the helicopter up above, the newsman filming it from up there, and he sees the whole thing from the very beginning to the very end. But the kids on the ground, they only see each float as it comes past. And we're like the kids on the ground. We see life as it comes past us. We see it within the realms of time. But God sees it all from the helicopter. He sees before even the beginning and after the end. He sees how our life happens from beginning to end. Next, please. He is holy. He is beautiful. He is splendid. He is powerful. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And that is the God that we have with us and in us. Next. He is glorious and awe-inspiring. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. That is the God we have with us and in us. And that King wants to be your friend. As I've been contemplating all these concepts and over these last few days, I've been overwhelmed that such a God wants to be with me, that such a God is interested in me. The things we've been talking about, the ancients called the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I can't stay with this concept that for any length of time, this glorious, all-powerful God being with me. It's too mind-blowing. It's too overwhelming. I can't hold on to it. I have to return to Jesus because Jesus, the man, is someone that we can relate to, someone we can, a God that we can relate to. He kind of brings those amazing, glorious factors of God into something that I can kind of get a hold of. Next one, please. He is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He's everywhere, always. Another concept that's really beyond our true comprehension. Next one. He's unchanging. For I am the Lord, I do not change. He is faithful. He never sleeps. He's never in a rush. He's never too busy for you. Always attentive to you. Jesus showed us that. He had time for people. Even with the restrictions of being human, he didn't get upset with interruptions and changes of plan like we tend to do. We have things all planned out. I know my experience of Christmas Day has been very varied over the years. There have been times when different expectations have led to friction. There have been certain expectations of what Christmas Day would be like. And usually it was me that didn't reach those expectations. And there was trouble in the camp. But God, he's never in a rush. He never has expectations that aren't met. Because he knows what's coming. He is faithful. He's never in a rush. next one. When Moses asked God to show himself, us to see God, God said, okay, but you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back. And he put Moses into the cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, he called out, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Moses' reaction was to throw himself on the ground and to worship. Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. He understood, as he was contemplating the Lord, how unworthy he was. For the Lord's compassions never fail. Jeremiah had a similar response to Moses, to worship because of his unworthiness. Isaiah, who says, I saw the Lord, he had a vision of God. And his immediate response was, I'm just not worthy of this God. John, in his revelation of Jesus, the book of Revelation, his response to seeing a vision of God was to say, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Are you catching a glimpse of our God today? What is your response today? Next one. Our God is humble. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. This is the message of Christmas, isn't it? How could a God so powerful, the creator, the supreme ruler over everything, be so humble? Can you imagine any human being with that kind of power being humble? Kind of doesn't go together, does it, in our comprehension? The next one. And of course, our God is love. That is the God we have with us and in us. A God who proved his astonishing love by dying in our place. The next one, please. This God is with us. The Virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What child is this? He is Emmanuel, God with us. We hear this at Christmas. This year, don't let those words just float past you. Remember, meditate on his breathtaking greatness, his stunning beauty, his spectacular power, his staggering grace, and his astonishing love. This is the God who is with you, who is in you. The awareness of his presence is what your heart longs for. Next, please. Almighty, holy God, supreme in splendour and power and glory, is here with us now. God's present is his presence. His Christmas present to us this year is his presence. His greatest gift is himself. The greatest gift a parent can give a child is the presence of presence. That's what kids crave. That's what the video clip was about, wasn't it? Being present, parent being there in person. And the best experiences are lacking when we experience them by ourselves. I know when I went with Daryl on our last cruise that we went on in Europe, he wasn't well enough to do a lot, and several times he had to stay on board, and I just went for a little walk on shore. And it wasn't the same without someone to share it with. When we were, the last couple of days, we were staying in Italy in a little town up the top of the hill, which has obviously been built before the invention of cars, because apart from one or two roads into the place, the only paths and place, way to get around was to climb steps and these little narrow walkways between the houses. And I wanted to go and explore, but he didn't have the ability to walk with me. And so I took some pictures and came back and showed him, but it wasn't the same. The greatest experiences are shared experiences. And that's why the Almighty became an Emmanuel. He wants to share life with you. Last one. What an amazing privilege we have to share life with a God like that. How will you respond to him today? Like Moses, bowing in worship. Like Isaiah, in fresh surrender. I respond with awe. And as I meditate on who he is, his presence is so beautiful, so overwhelming. I want to experience his presence, be with him, to know him more. Lord, help us this Christmas season to just be aware, to meditate on, to appreciate the enormity of this God that we worship coming to be with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.